noon, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros, Rop.
Solid.
That's me. Big Sook's right over there.
Dude, I thought we'd be like 14 minutes over there. We're only 5 minutes
yeah,
over.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
I count that as a win.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
A lot of times the homeless derail me, and then next thing I know, I look down, I'm like, ooh, we're like 15 minutes over. But, hey, I'm taking that as a win.
Yeah. The one last thing on that.
It gets me every time. Well, I can't help it.
It's like this guy says, yeah, we got a text line here. It's called the Vancouver Ford text line, okay? Yeah.
And we do read them all.
Not all of them. But
I read.
Most of them.
Yeah.
503-864-6326. That's how you reach it. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Go to VancouverFord.com. One of my friends is on Wheeler Security Detail. He said it is jaw-dropping, the mundane, pointless bullshit these commissioners will conjure up just so they can hopefully sound like the most smart person in the room.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, is that you would not be able to handle it. You could go in there with the best ideas of
all
time.
I'm trying to come in with real, like, you, actual things.
Yes, I think a lot of people have. Yeah. Dude, futile. Futile. Go away. Yeah. They don't want your rationale.
I still think that, you know, no one really knows how the Egyptian pyramids got built. They're just there. I swear, that's homeless people. I've never once seen a car being driven or plopped there, and yet somehow every day, Will can attest to this, right by where Will lives, right by our gym, every day there's just new vehicles, and none of them are drivable.
There's a bus.
Yeah,
I did see it get driven once.
Did you saw the bus?
I saw the bus get driven.
Did you saw the bus?
I saw the bus get driven.
Another great Sukism. Now, if we didn't talk over that, can you cut that out?
I talked over it.
I think you did. Yeah.
I slammed it. You know what? Hand up.
I do knew that.
I apologize.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, there is a bus that I thought was for the stupid pop-up festival that they always have, which is a death trap into itself. That bus is like still there, and it's taking up like 20 parking spots by Target.
Every day, I just see new vehicles, and I sit there, and I'm like, how? Like the one car I told you outside of the car wash. There's no way that car was drivable. No way. It has been wrecked. It is immovable. And yet somehow ended up there. I just wanted, do the homeless have tow trucks that we're not aware of? Is there just like a homeless dude somewhere out there that tows these vehicles to places for other homeless and then drops them off? Or is it like a rival car wash towed that vehicle to his rival's car wash and parked it out front, was like, yeah, deal with this, a-hole. Is it like some sort of spy versus spy? I don't get how they get there. Where do they find all the RVs? Like, you see, like, there's like 50 RVs. Where did those come from? They all look like they're from 1981.
So I think the homeless, I think they built the pyramids.
That's the only solution.
I think this is the answer.
I'm telling you, if we somehow could harness the ingenuity of the homeless into like, they're like the most resourceful human beings on the planet. We just have to harness that somehow to some sort of force for good and then pay them to do it. It's unbelievable.
All right, coming up this hour, does the SEC have 6 of the 7 best teams in college football? We'll get to some NFL things. And Club 1080 tonight, the most important study ever conducted, ever.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
Ever.
I can't wait.
Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Well, the PGA of America announced today that LIV players will now be able to compete on the U.S. Ryder Cup team and in the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
This is no different than the last few years, but for some reason they deemed it necessary to make it official moving forward.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we've had live guys on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Brooks Koepka made it, and they play in the PGA Championship. Yeah. So I'm not sure why this is a headline, but they put it out there today, and they're starting a trend. So maybe the others will follow suit.
Then there's like a rumor that it could be some sort of... You know, eventually, they have to come to some sort of agreement, right? There's going to be some sort of peace treaty between these two things. It's been going on for a couple years now. Wake me when it's... wake me when it's done.
I will wake you up.
Yeah.
I will. I'll shake you.
Thank you.
Violently. Maybe you'll wake up.
What?
And then I'll tell you the news. And be like, why'd you wake me up? Well, you told me. Wake you up.
I do give you permission to violently shake you.
Well, Portland landed the 15th WNBA franchise yesterday for a cool $125 million. That is now appearing to be quite a steal.
Yeah.
A 16th franchise will be added by 2028, and there's already a bidding war between 12 to 15 entities. The price already nearing $250 million.
We're talking about this. Like, if you're trying to get on the ground floor of stuff, like the MLS, I mean, the price of those things was peanuts. And now some of those franchises are worth $1 billion. The NHL's worst franchise just sold for $1.2 billion. So if you're trying to get on the ground floor of something, there's probably not a bigger bargain right now than the WNBA when you look at the trajectory that league has.
The most serious contenders are thought to be Philadelphia, Denver, Nashville, and Miami.
You'd assume they'd want to be in Miami, right? Wouldn't everyone want to be in Miami?
Number three.
Big changes at Nike. CEO John Donahoe steps down.
I just got done. I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday that it got laid off at Nike. And he loves Nike. The direct quote, he goes, dude, their CEO needs to get fired. He goes, that ass clown is taking that company down.
I can assure you.
Everyone hates him.
That they are rejoicing at Nike today.
Yes, dude, that guy is universally hated.
Veteran of Nike, Elliot Hill, is coming out of retirement to take over. He will begin October 14th. Hill started as an intern there in 1988. He retired in 2020. Now, some say due to a falling out with Phil Knight, but, you know. Yeah.
Hey, time heals all wounds, right?
He's a TCU guy. Did you know that about...
I did not.
Elliot Hill, who's going to be the new leader of Nike.
Well, I hope so. Look, I love Nike. It's been my favorite apparel brand for basically my whole life, and I hope the guy is able to turn it around, because it's rough over there right now.
Number two.
I want to start wearing, like, New Balance. Jeez.
Number two.
Underdogs of at least 6 points are 8-0 against the spread through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. That's the best since 1970. The Patriots are 6-point underdogs tonight on Thursday Night Football. They are playing in New York against your Jets.
Well, remember, the Patriots, who we thought was going to be the worst team in the NFL this year, everyone was bagging them, minus the Panthers, beat Cincinnati in week one and took Seattle down to the wire. New England's playing tough, hard-nosed ball. So, you know, I think this is going to be a close game. It's not like the Jets are world beaters.
New England has won 15 of the last 16.
Well, some of that has to do with, one, the Jets.
Well,
two,
wait, hold on.
Tom Brady.
They have won 15 of the last 16 meetings in the series. Again. Not 15 of the last 16 games.
New England's not. Look, I can say New England isn't bad, but it's...
I mean, it's Jacoby Brissett, for heaven's sake.
I know. Stop it. Let's do it. Hey, letting Drake May sit. Better than all the other rookie number quarterbacks one. Right now. Rookie number quarterback one. Player. Wolf.
Number one.
You guys, it was a scene in Miami today. Shohei Ohtani is now the first 50-50 man in baseball history. He hit 3 home runs and stole 2 bases.
That's silly.
In the Dodgers' 20-4 win. Now, his line for the game, 6-for-6, 3 bombs, 10 RBI.
Now, to be fair, the last one came against a position player.
It did, but did you see how far he hit it?
He damn near hit it out of the stadium.
Have they come? I haven't looked yet.
I haven't seen the
Have they come up with a number on that?
But he
Dude,
hit the living
it was
hell out of that.
Such a bomb. The Dodgers have clinched a playoff spot. The Guardians also clinch a playoff spot with a walk-off win today in 10 innings against the Twins. The Braves over the Reds 15-3. They pull within a game and a half of your Mets for that final NL wildcard spot. And last I checked,
that thing is going to come down to the wire. And the Mets, by the way, their schedule down the stretch is it's murderer's row. No more bad teams.
Yes, the Mets are still winning 4-3 over the Phillies in the fourth. The Mariners did beat the Yankees today 3-2.
It doesn't matter.
It really matters.
Their season's done.
They did win the game.
Yeah.
It is the Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. Let's get into some SEC college football talk next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
So I'm just going to point out that Shohei Ohtani is at 51 home runs and 51 steals.
I think that's pretty good, right?
And he has 9 games left.
Considering no one's ever done it, ever. What if he got 60-60?
Yeah, I don't think he can do that.
Yeah, you don't know. He keeps playing the Marlins.
But I think he can get to 55-55.
Yeah.
Because 6 of the 9 games are against the Rockies.
Well, hey, he may get to 60-60. Don't discount that.
Well, he's got to hit a home run in every one of the...
No, he doesn't. He's got to hit, do like today and get 3. You know, that's a couple 3 home run games, and there you go.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Probably not, but still. It'd be fun to...
What a season.
Well, and this is... Did we look... This is going to be his third MVP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, geez.
And he didn't even pitch.
No, didn't even pitch. Wait till next year. Although, I mean, you pointed out, if he comes back, because they say don't count him out in the postseason pitching... If they win a World Series, and the Dodgers certainly are capable of doing that, if they win a World Series and that son of a gun either pitches and wins a couple games or like maybe comes back and is their closer, this could put a stamp on the greatest season in Major League Baseball history. Win an MVP 50-50 or 55-55 and then pitch meaningful innings in the postseason? I mean, come on.
Come on.
What he's doing is just, it's silly.
So I'm looking at the rankings here. Texas and Georgia, their top 2 teams in the country.
Yes, sir. And there's really not much of a debate. I think that's
Ohio State. They haven't been tested yet.
No,
though.
No.
Of course. Well, I guess Georgia has. Texas went to Michigan. Yeah. Okay. So Ohio State hasn't been tested yet, but they're 3rd.
Yeah.
Then you have Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Missouri. Those teams are all from the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
6 of the top 7 in college football are from the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to argue with that. Like, if you're going to say the best, I mean, again, there's Ohio State. So, I haven't played anyone, but they certainly look the part. And, Urban Meyer said this was the best Ohio State team he's seen. By the way, you seen that Urban, again, for the second time, denied. He did not say that he was not interested in coaching. He's coming back to coach. That was very clunky.
Yeah, I mean,
someone asked him, like, hey, are you done coaching? He's like, well.
I would be more stunned if he did not come back.
Wait till he comes back and is the next coach at Florida. Wait till they fire.
You think Florida's bringing him back?
Wait till they fire Billy Napier and the Swamp King comes back. I'm just saying, man.
It'd be a good hire.
Like someone asked him about the Florida job, and I'll tell you what, Herbs did not downplay that.
Does Tim Tebow have any eligibility left?
Say what you will about Urban Meyer. All that dude does is win and win national championships.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing with him is you just got to get by the moral police.
Yeah, and Florida doesn't care at this point.
I don't think they do.
No, when you suck as bad as Florida does, yeah, they'll be fine. But no, I mean, when you look up and down the SEC, with the exception of Ohio State, there's not an argument to be made. The only other team that you could say is Miami, Oregon, Penn State. And Miami's the only one that I would listen to that belongs in that conversation right now. But I'm not going to put them over Tennessee. I'm not going to put them over Ole Miss. I'm not putting them over Alabama. This isn't even SEC bias, which I know it always drives Dirt nuts. Like he can't handle the SEC thing. But this is, and it's a small sample size. So, give it time to play out. But as of right now, there is not an argument to be made that one of these teams is being overinflated. They're just not.
Not Missouri?
No. Well, Missouri is in the SEC. So
I know. You said overinflated.
No.
In other words, I thought you meant you were saying that there's not an argument you made that any of those are undeserving.
No. So the idea of me taking Miami or Oregon or Penn State and putting them above Missouri, why? Missouri was a phenomenal team last year. Missouri is very well coached. That's a 10-win team that's back. They've got absolutely studs there. So, at the end of the year, if you're betting me who ends up ahead, Miami, Missouri, or Oregon, I don't think it's Missouri because their schedule. But to say right now that Miami or Oregon is better than Missouri, that's no, I couldn't have that argument.
So you think that the SEC really does have six of the top seven best teams in the country?
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Miami will be there. Miami will be, because Miami's good. When you watch Miami play and the way they recruit, and if they can get out of, if Cristobal can get out of the way, Miami's good. So Miami will be ahead of some of those because Miami's schedule, have you seen Miami's schedule?
Oh, yeah.
This is, well, it's a cakewalk.
But, you know, the thing about, well, okay, a couple things. One, it does seem like Miami is pretty damn good, and Cam Ward is kicking some ass.
He could win a Heisman Trophy.
What was I going to tell you?
I don't know.
Well, I think, well, one, you said Missouri's schedule. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me about the SEC right now is that they have so many teams now that you assume that they play a tough schedule because they're in the SEC.
It's not necessarily.
But that's no longer a safe assumption.
No, it is not.
Because you can miss a lot of the other good teams in the SEC.
And Missouri does.
And exactly. So it's actually not that hard of a schedule.
No, I mean, but you still
But I think there's a... I'm sorry. Yeah. What I meant was there's a difference between the best teams and, you know, the most deserving. Like, Miami is probably going to be a top seven ranked team.
Yes.
I don't know that they're one of the top seven best teams. Yeah. There's two different things there.
Sure.
But right now what we're saying is in the SEC, six of those seven teams are the best in the country.
Yes. I am not going to like I said, I'm not make the only team that I would make an argument for is I'd make an argument for Miami, and I think Oregon could get there. If the real Oregon shows up and the offensive line issues are solved, and I'm not convinced of that. Like I told you before the Oregon State game, O-line problems tend to linger. You can get better, but they tend to linger. And yeah, they had a little shuffling in there. And by the way, the run game and the pass protection were great. And you look at the advanced analytics, Oregon only failed on five run plays that entire game. And Gabriel didn't get sniffed. So if that's the Oregon O-line that shows up, and I'm far from convinced that that's the O-line that shows up week to week, we'll see what happens. Then, to me, Miami and Oregon belong with those other teams. But it's not Penn State. It's not USC right now, although USC may prove me wrong as that season goes along. I think USC is a really, really interesting team because their defense right now looks for real. They've already beaten LSU. They got a big one at Michigan. I think USC right now is a real sleeper team that no one's talking about. And their schedule is tough, but USC is scary good. But outside of that, it's not Kansas State. It's not Oklahoma State. Dude, the SEC is SEC's for real.
The Big Ten, well, I mean, I think we knew that. But the Big Ten is what's kind of maybe more the shocker early on is that they have quite a bit to prove. I mean, I know they have seven ranked teams, but there's not one of them besides Ohio State that's shown that they're elite.
No.
Whereas I think what you're saying is in the SEC,
they look the part.
We've always known that they're for real, but Texas has just jumped up and said, hey, don't forget about us.
Yep.
And the other schools, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, yep. I mean, there's just no blemishes.
No.
They have already shown that they're elite, and you're going to have to prove otherwise.
Yep.
Big Ten just has gone the other direction, where Penn State's been a little shaky, Oregon's been a little shaky.
Yep.
Like you said, USC's still got a lot to prove. I mean, and Ohio State hasn't done anything yet.
Nope.
And Michigan isn't. Turns out they aren't even any good.
I think USC beats Michigan. And look, USC's defense and the way they're tackling right now, you know, with Lincoln Riley and Miller Moss, and by the way, like their best offensive player, Zachariah Branch, hasn't even done anything this year. Like it's been other guys. If this defense for USC keeps going like this, and the way they're tackling, it looks like a completely different group. By the end of the year, USC may be the team that we're looking at and saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't familiar with your game. That's the only thing they have lacked since Lincoln Riley has been there. And they look different up front. They just do. They're flying to the ball. They're tackling. I think they're going to handle Michigan. And what we're going to say after that is we're going to be like, oh, Michigan's not very good. I don't know what USC has to do to get their flowers. And I know because of the schedule, we think there's going to be some losses built in there, but they're on the road against Michigan and then they're home against Wisconsin. They handle those two. I think maybe then we kind of look at USC and be like, yeah, guys, this team has always been able to score points. They got a defense now. Look out. And then they got Minnesota and then Penn State. So USC is going to have to prove this over the next month. But I'm very bullish right now on USC more so than I am a lot of those other teams. I'm very bullish on Miami, and I'm very bullish on USC, and I'm putting a put on Oregon right now. I need to see more. And even though the next two games aren't, you know, dude, it's UCLA, who's just so bad, and Michigan State, I just want to see them do what Ohio State and the other teams have done, which is just stomp an old-fashioned mud hole in teams that you're supposed to beat. You do that, now all of a sudden, now we get into that Ohio State game, and now win or lose, now we talk about you with the elites.
Imagine if we still had the four-team playoff, and of course, this is all just, I mean, this will all play out.
Yeah.
But imagine if this is really the year where you had the four-team playoff, all the schools are from the SEC.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Talk about obnoxious.
It
like,
would be.
Or imagine a Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama playoff.
Yeah.
I might not even watch it. Like, okay, I'm fine, done. I'll watch it. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This, thank God for the 12-team playoff.
Yes. And I get this is like this is where I say like the dirt hatred, the Vancouver Vortex line. Who has the SEC played? Under what spell are you? Again, man, I get that you may not like the SEC, but if you don't watch Texas, Georgia, Bama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, if you can't watch that and see that it looks different than Oregon and Penn State and, oh, I don't know, Oklahoma, if you can't see that that looks different, the one who's under a spell is you. The one that you're so blinded by the fact that you hate the SEC and you're tired of hearing about them, then I could say the same thing about Oregon. Who has Oregon played? Oregon has looked like dog ass for two of the three games. So Oregon's 3-0, and Oregon, you know, it could be a national title contender. They could continue to get better. But this is my argument. You can sit there and say, who did Texas play? Well, they went on the road and kicked the living God out of Michigan. You know, I mean,
well, and Tennessee beat NC State.
Yes.
They were ranked.
And they killed them. And so, that was in North Carolina.
And then Missouri just beat Boston College, and everybody was jocking Boston College because they were ranked.
So if you're going to sit there and say, who did they play? I'll turn around and say, who the hell has the other teams played? At least in the SEC, like with Ole Miss, the teams that you have played, you've looked the part. Ohio State's played no one, but they've looked the part, and Oregon hasn't.
Can I just say what?
Penn State hasn't.
There is an absurdity that he points out. And I don't think this is what he meant, but it is kind of stupid that the Big Ten and the SEC will go head-to-head one time.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Texas, Michigan. That's it.
That's it.
And that's just dumb.
Yep.
USC, LSU.
LSU, there you go. And USC got them.
Oh, yep. Right. Yeah, you're right.
LSU is the only team that I feel like you had thoughts of maybe them being winners in the SEC that hasn't looked the part, whereas like in the Big Ten, there's been a lot of teams that don't look the part.
Well, if you look, I just got done giving USC all the flowers. Like, I'm very bullish on USC because they proved something.
They're good.
And then the other team that they played that sucked, Utah State, what did they do? They absolutely annihilated.
Shut them out. First shutout since 2011.
So, you know, they're USC is doing what they need to do. And again, over the next 2 weeks, if Oregon takes care of business, we'll change the way we talk about Oregon, even though they will have played no one. And we said this going into the year. Ohio State and Oregon are on a collision course to both be undefeated, and both will have played nobody. And that right there, like you talked about the popularity of the NFL and how, you know, it's losing you a little bit. You know, the part that gets me about college football that I struggle with is just this.
100%.
I cannot, if we can get 6 weeks into a season and the preseason number 3 and number 2 team in the country in Ohio State and Oregon will have played absolutely nobody, that to me is a major problem. Whereas in the NFL, whatever you think about a team week to week, that team can beat you.
Well, this is where you go back with college football is like if they ever pull their, this is why I say if they ever pull their head out of their ass, yes, they need the structure of the sport. If they do it in a way that makes it way more interesting and entertaining, you got a lot more eyeballs.
Yeah.
And one of those things is,
better
and
schedule.
You know, Mark, yeah, better schedule or just, Mark Cuban had this idea several years ago. I remember we talked about it where he said you should, the top, I think it's, I can't remember if he was like 1-2 and 3-4. They play, they keep open day. Everybody has an open date at the quarter poll and then maybe the three quarter poll or whatever. I can't remember what
and
he said.
Shuffle the schedule.
And whoever is in the top four, they play each other every, twice a year.
Yep.
Basically. And so you get the games that you want to see.
Yep.
That's not a bad idea. I don't know if that's the right idea, but it's not a bad idea. That's the kind of thinking that that college football needs to start and getting
would,
in the room.
And it would be amazing. If you did it,
yes,
it would be incredible.
People would want, you got to set up these matchups. Yep. You're right. It is absurd that Oregon and Oklahoma State will go, or and Ohio State will go 6 weeks before we have any idea who either of them are.
No.
And then they finally play.
Yeah. The best team that either one will have played leading up to each other is probably Michigan State, and that's pathetic. And they will both have played Michigan State. It's pathetic. That's absolutely pathetic.
So you
and by the way, Alabama played Wisconsin just last week at Wisconsin to the person hating on the SEC. And what happened there? I believe Alabama, like, alley-whipped.
The anti-SEC, like, you have no argument.
No, it's just a tired argument.
It's not even an argument. No. You don't have one.
No, you're just bitter.
Name the champions. Just open your eyes. Like, it's not even close, really. And they got Texas and Oklahoma now.
Yeah.
I think it's the interesting thing about college football to get all the way to where we're talking is it's going to have to slough off a lot of this, a lot of these garbage programs.
Yeah.
And I know people don't like it, but it's going to come down to the SEC, the Big Ten, and maybe one other conference of other schools. And that's really all who plays each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more interesting that way.
Yeah,
because
it's
that's how you create the match. There's too many. There's 120 teams.
Yeah, it's a killer. It's a killer when week to week I have to sort through 90 games to come up with three that mean something.
Exactly. The only thing that's good about that is that because they play so many games, inevitably in any time window on a Saturday there will be something worth watching.
Yeah.
But you never know which one it is. You never know. We didn't know Georgia-Kentucky would come down to the wire, but it did, and then you flip over and you watch it. It would be better if they just created better matchups that we want to sit down and watch start to finish.
Yeah.
And they just don't have it.
Nope. It's the biggest problem that sport has. That and who knows what the hell is going on with pain and not pain and NIL, and that's... That sport is the biggest wild card right now in the world.
It's in flux.
No one can tell me with any form of certainty, literally, you can't even give me an educated guess on where that thing lands over the next...
No one knows.
Not even 10 years. I give you 5 years.
To the NFL. Next, here is Will.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, now to the NFL. The National Football League. I saw where Derek Carr got fined for that crotch grab.
Yeah, he did a Michael Jackson thing. Can't do that. You can't do guns, and you can't do the privates. It's no bueno.
Yeah, he has kind of a – he had some pretty good moves.
Derek Carr can move. Dance. We all know that.
Yeah,
he
did the crotch grab hip thrust, Michael Jackson style.
Can't do it.
Give him hot milk. You know, we have little cookies.
Remember when MJ started doing that and how weird it was? Like, he did it all the time. He just started randomly –
Michael Jordan?
No, or Michael Jackson, excuse me. Michael Jackson started...
you did say MJ.
MJ. Yeah, like, he came out with, I think it was that black or white video, and like, all of a sudden, like, during that era, he just, for whatever reason, started grabbing his junk, and then gyrating, and you're like, whoa, that's weird. And they started wearing, like, the diaper thing, like, the snap crotch over his pants. That was the beginning of the end, where we're like, dude, this is getting real weird, and no one wanted to, like, admit it. And then one day, we just woke up, and we're like, oh boy, hot milk and cookies.
Well, his moves were second to none. There's no doubt about it.
No.
But at the time, they were...
Yes.
It was odd.
It was strange.
But man, can that guy move.
Well, so can...
Me?
So can Mr. Carr.
But
I'll tell you what. I know he makes a lot of money, but is really grabbing your crotch worth $14,000? Or do you think he looks back and is like, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks he was going to get fined there.
Really?
No.
Mm. Yeah, don't... You can't be grabbing the junk. We've learned, Mr. London, no gun celebrations and no crotch stuff. Can't do it. I think you can hip thrust. You can't grab and thrust. That's the key.
You only get two thrusts.
Two thrusts.
Once you get to that third, then you get the flag.
You get the flag and the fine. Can't do it.
Did you see the fans at the Steelers Broncos game with matching jerseys?
No, I didn't see
that.
Catch
that?
No.
Yeah,
I look up matching jerseys.
No, I just tell you. I instantly thought of you. The dude is on the left, and he has a Ray Rice jersey,
mm-hmm.
and the woman is on the right, and she has an Aaron Hernandez jersey.
Oh!
Yeah.
Really?
And they wore those to the game. Sat next to each other.
Was that a... You think that was a plan, or you think they just didn't know? Like
No. That's a bit.
That's a bit? I was wondering, because I wonder if you went to Ross or Marshall's. like a TJ Maxx, and those jerseys were like $6, and they're like, oh my gosh.
Well, when I say bit, I think it's a statement.
Okay.
Don't you?
A statement that you like wife beaters and murderers?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know.
It just
why would you do that? You tell me. Why do you think someone would do that?
I don't know, but it's the Steelers Broncos. Why are you wearing an Aaron Hernandez jersey?
Because it's Aaron Hernandez and Ray Rice. Like, they're not Patriots and Ravens fans.
No, it's so weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you do that? Yeah. Why would someone do that?
They think it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably do think it's funny.
They're doing bits.
Was the OJ guy in the bathroom?
That's what I was wondering. Like, the OJ guy, or what was the, like, maybe a Ray Carruth jersey? Like, you couldn't find that?
Well, it's like, remember when the Browns got Deshaun Watson? Yeah. They had a bunch of jerseys where it was like, he didn't actually do it, or it's all fake. Like, it's the same thing. They think they're being
fans
funny.
Fans are weird.
It is kind of amazing the number of people that, like, Ray Rice and Aaron Hernandez are scumbags. Not two different types of scumbags. Hernandez greater than, but, you know, I don't know. That never ceases to amaze me how trashy and stupid fans can be.
Totally.
So, you know.
Particularly in the NFL.
Yeah. I saw, I don't know, it was a while back, but someone at one of the, I don't know, one of the wrestling pay-per-views, someone dressed up as Chris Benoit. And I don't know if you're familiar with the works of Chris Benoit.
I'm not, actually.
He murdered his wife and kid. So... Yeah, he dressed up and sat like front row at one of the wrestling events, dressed as Chris Benoit, like in the tights and had the belt and clearly was doing a Chris Benoit thing. And I was like, really? Like, you just going to a wrestling match? Like, I'm dressing as my favorite wrestler, who just so happens to have killed his wife and kid in a murderous rage. But, you know, people.
What I think is weird about it is that I feel like these are people that would never even sniff or think about wearing that jersey unless the horrible crime was committed.
Yes.
And yes. That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Yes. The reason why you're wearing an Aaron Hernandez jersey and a Ray Rice jersey is because of that. Well, again, it's shock value. It's like you wear it to the game and people are like, ooh, ooh.
Do they want to pick a fight?
Yeah, it's just being edgy. They're that sort of person that loves to pick a fight, but no one would, they would never actually fight someone.
They get to say stupid stuff along the lines of like, you just don't get my dark humor.
Yeah, something like that. People are, you know.
It's the same guy who calls on Dan Campbell and sends like a SWAT team to his house because he knows where he lives.
Yeah, the NFL fan, somebody said the NFL games are a different breed of fans.
They really
Kinder
are.
Care of white trash.
Yeah. I will say that there's no worse sporting event. Now, I don't go to monster truck rallies or anything like that, but
hey, yeah. I went to a monster truck.
The monster truck?
How am I doing?
you have a stroke?
I went to a monster truck rally once.
Good people?
It was great. It was dads and kids.
I went to
some trash.
I went to a NASCAR race, and I'm not, that was a little, it was a bit much.
Do you think that's worse than NFL?
Now, to be fair, I've only been to two NASCAR events. Yeah, NASCAR
was worse.
It was rough. It was a little rough. But it's the same. It's the same kind of archetype. It's heavy power drinkers, tailgates, ignorant macho males. It's the same. It's the same thing. NASCAR. There's just so many of them, and it really is an all day thing. Like. I mean, at least in the NFL, like it's a 3-hour thing. Dude, NASCAR is all day.
It's more than 3 hours. They're tailgating out there.
That is true. But I mean, NASCAR, like they show up for like an entire weekend. And NASCAR, dare I say, had more of a racial element to it than the NFL did,
right.
Which made me very uncomfortable. And I don't know if, and again, this was many years ago, but let's just say the Confederate flag was a prominent, it was a prominent thing at the two NASCAR races.
Yeah, it's a little more Southern Rube.
Yes.
Whereas the NFL is a little bit more...
Just white trash or just
city
trash
trailer trash.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, it's rough. I mean, Will brought up the best one, the Deshaun Watson stuff. There were tons of people in Cleveland that were doing Deshaun Watson, like bits, like at their tailgate. They had massage tables set up and just... I mean, that speaks for itself. I can't even go into some of the stuff that the sign said, but look it up. And that went on for like that entire year. And they just embraced that guy. They didn't care. They welcomed him back with open arms. Same stuff with the Ray Rice thing and all that. Ray Rice got a standing ovation. Everyone all was right. Like going crazy. Tyreek Hill is one of the most popular players in the league. You know, it's as long as you can play, man, NFL fans don't care.
Shaq is trending.
yeah, for not the
Did
right
you
reason.
See why?
I'm guessing, is this for the little...
Yeah. We'll get to that next. To wrap up the hour on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, Big Shaq's been trending now on the social meds. Big fella got himself into a little bit of trouble. Although, I don't know. Is it really trouble?
It's not really trouble. I mean...
Well, he's married, isn't he?
He's always has been, but like, I mean...
Same woman?
I think it's the same mom, but I think it's one of those that relationship's kind of been on and off.
Yeah, Shawnee.
But I mean, this is the infamous, like, Kobe Bryant ratted him out and was like, yeah, Shaq just pays all his women to go away. Dude, Shaq is known for being a bit of a hound out there.
Yeah, there's this little girl, little tiny thing,
mm-hmm.
posts a picture on the Insta.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a big, giant black guy behind her, grabbing her,
No, what? Can you paint a picture for me?
Okay. it's her up tops.
Yeah.
But you can't see his face.
No.
Because she's so small. She's mm-hmm. like gymnast tiny.
You
just see his big giant hands over her.
And you assume it's Shaq, but I mean,
I
did try to zoom in to see if I could see some tattoos, but you know, I didn't care enough to really do any sort of deep digging. I'm assuming that.
Well, and then, so this goes viral mm-hmm. and everybody's like, well, that's not Shaq or like, you're not like, what is this?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, really? You want proof?
Yeah.
And then. And she shows a picture of Shaq curled up on her couch, and it's Shaq laying there sleeping, like having had a bag of Carl's Jr. There's a bunch of, it looked like a college dorm room.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Shaq already admitted, like, he came out and said that, remember that was when, it was the Ime, I think it was the Ime Udoka situation, when Shaq came out and talked about being a serial cheater. Like, he already owned up to it. He gave like whole interviews about it and was like, it's like I was out there doing it.
But did you see you saw the picture, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean,
what?
Well, just the size difference.
That's
unbelievable.
He's that way. Have you seen the photo of him?
She is tiny, dude.
Have you seen the photos of him and Simone Biles? And by the way, those are innocent photos.
I think this girl's just as small as Simone Biles.
Simone Biles is like 4 foot, like six.
Yeah, you think this girl's taller than 4'6"? She is so small. Yeah. His hand covers her entire upper torso.
Yes. When he's standing behind her and his hands are over.
Hey, have you seen them laying together?
The chesticles.
Have you seen something we haven't?
No. Oh. Just the hands over the chesticles, like you can't see anything.
No, her whole torso is covered.
Yes. Well, you know.
Maybe he's got a type, man.
Well, I don't know. If you're Shaq,
She's a spinner.
How do you find a normal... There is no such thing as a normal size woman, right?
What?
Like...
What do you mean?
What would you like Shaq to... Like, is Shaq only allowed to date girls that are like 6'8"?
I think he's got to get with Hope Solo or something. Got
to find like Cameron Brink or something out there.
Yeah, she's tall, right? She's tall and hot.
She unfortunately has a boyfriend.
Who's her boyfriend? I don't know.
Some rowing guy. Yeah. Not that I've done research.
Rowing.
He was a Stanford guy,
too.
Yeah.
Also tall and blonde.
You think Shaq... Well, Shaq's older than I am.
How old is old Shaq now?
He's got to be in his 50s. Shaq's probably, what, 53, 54, something like that?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Simone 52. Biles photo.
52. Yeah, right? It's a lot.
This girl may be a little taller than Simone Biles because I see where Simone kind of comes up to his sternum.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, just a little north of the sternum.
Yeah. It's something else, though. But, I mean, there's lots of photos of Shaq out there. Like, if you just Google Shaq girlfriend, the photos that come up are are alarming. But, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, I don't care, but he is married. It's just that he denied it. Like she sent out the photo and he denies it. And then she's like, oh yeah,
check this out.
Check this out. You idiot. I'm snapping pictures of you at all times. And all you do is sleep.
I am amazed at how many dudes, when they're with the side pieces, like
they think they can't prove it.
Yeah. Like, dude, they all have photos of you. Like that's what they're doing. Like, you know,
yeah. Like you should just assume that that's what they're doing.
Yeah. You can't keep it quiet when you're Shaquille O'Neal or Dave Grohl or anyone else. It's impossible.
This is a rough look for Grohl, by the way.
For what? For Dave Grohl?
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, it was.
Why?
Because we like him.
Did you not see the mistress?
Well, what's the... What?
Oh.
You might want to look up the mistress.
Why? What is the... Why is it a rough look?
She's a rough look.
Oh, he's getting defensive.
He's what?
She's a rough look.
Oh. Oh, that.
She's a 20-year-old.
That probably makes sense.
She didn't look 20.
But you were saying that you thought she was like...
I made the call that on this one, it was going to be some sort of weird, yeah, like, someone that, worked
someone that with them, works with him.
Yeah, that was going to be rough looking.
But
I was saying that it wasn't going to be like a 20-year-old
hot. No, I expected better from Dave.
See, I did not expect better.
He's a good musician. He's rich. People
matter.
Are liking Nirvana again.
Look at, you need to look at like Arnold Schwarzenegger or when A-Rod cheated.
Well, no, I'm well aware of what the maid had going on.
See, it's just, again, it's not about, it's not about, how hot you are. It's just opportunity. It's opportunity. Yeah.
It's right place, right time.
Right place, right time.
Lord Dave Grohl.
And that's why I kind of thought that it would be someone that worked with the band. It'd be like some sort of that was in charge of their stage lighting or whatever that was on tour with them. And Dave was like, man, whatever. I'm drunk. Might as well. Like 12 Coors Lights deep. Now, you're like, yeah, this might as well happen.
How do I can't find a picture of this gal.
I saw it on Twitter, unless it was fake news.
It was probably
might
fake
might have been
news.
Fake news.
Well, the person that I saw the picture of, bad look. I'll do research. Also, I don't think Shaq's married.
Oh, he's not?
According to Wiki, there was a divorce in 2011.
All right.
Oh, that's probably because of the serial cheating. No way. Because he did say that he was a serial cheater. And by the way, every NBA player is a serial cheater. Damian Lillard was a serial cheater. Shaquille O'Neal was a serial cheater. Kobe Bryant was a serial cheater. You know,
that's every one of them right there.
Insert whoever you want. Like
AC Green.
Yeah, he may be the one. But like, it's always adorable. Like when who's the most likable NBA player right now?
Shohei Ohtani.
Anthony NBA. Gordon.
NBA.
Anthony Gordon, maybe?
Anthony. What about Steph Curry? All right, there sure. You go. Steph.
Jokic.
Steph or Jokic, right?
Giannis.
Giannis. They're all very, very likable players. What are the odds that those three MVPs and NBA champions, what are the odds that even one of them is faithful to their wife? Like one in a million? One in 10 million? Like, come on. I don't care how nice the guy is. He's the best player in the... Every one of those guys at one point has been considered the best player in the NBA. And they're on the road how many days out of the year? I mean, that's why when the Dave Grohl thing happened, I was... When people were like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm like, what? You can't believe that one of the biggest rock stars of the last 50 years had a mistress? Oh my heart. What happened here? I'll tell you what, I'd be shocked if one of those three didn't have a mistress.
Well, why can't he pull out?
Well,
coitus interruptus.
There you go.
Wear something else, maybe?
Or that.
So it's not the fact that he had the mistress, it's the fact that she got pregnant.
They think they know who the mistress is. New York Post is what I found.
Well, I think also with Grohl, he's a victim of his own popularity.
Yeah.
Because he kind of comes across as different. Like,
yeah,
as a guy who,
yeah,
is just a good dude, you know?
Yeah.
And that hurts you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just a dirtbag, we're just like, yeah, of course.
Like if you're Mick Jagger, we're like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's
although, yeah. Does he come, is he, I mean, I know he is a dirtbag, but did he come across as a dirtbag back in the day? Like,
yeah,
in the 70s?
He stole Keith Richards' girl.
Did he?
Like, yeah. Like, I think he might have married. If I'm not mistaken, I think he married one of his bandmates' gals. Yeah, like he's a grade A dirtbag. Steven Tyler, all those guys. They're rock stars. Isn't that the whole reason you become a rock star?
Yeah, I just think Dave Grohl kind of painted himself
yeah.
a little differently. People viewed him a little differently. Even though he's a rock star, it's like, it's like, he's a good one.
It's like when we found out that Tiger Woods liked to lay with the ladies. We're like, what?
Wait, Tiger, that dork?
Tiger likes the ladies?
I thought he just liked Perkins.
Like, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. Tiger's laying down with ladies. What's happening? What's this world coming to?
Let me tell you something about Perkins. We used to go there when we get really drunk.
Yeah,
back
in Kansas. Right. The chicken tender dill melt.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
When drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Good pies, too.
The Perkins chicken tendy dill melt. The fact that you...
So good.
The fact that you stumbled in there like, the chicken tendy
all the time. They knew we were... they were like, oh, God.
The dill mate. I love
dill
it.
Dill melt. Not a dill mate. Dill That's mate. A little different. Means something different out there. The chicken tender dill melt at Perkins was so, so good. And I bet you if I went and got one now, I would think it's disgusting.
Probably.
Because I'm not 22 and housed.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the time, served a purpose. Mine was always a good breakfast burrito. A breakfast burrito or a falafel. And I've talked about this, right on Burnside, right across the street from like Voodoo Donuts and like Dante's, right outside that entertainment district.
Oh, I actually know where you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a guy that serves falafels.
I've eaten there.
Little Greek stand. And at like 2 a.m. when everything's shut down, that man is a lighthouse. He is a beacon unto the drunk and disorderly. And he says, he's like Jesus at that point. Bring me your tired, your meek. He will feed the hungry masses. That guy is doing the Lord's work. And I think if you went there at like 2 on a Wednesday afternoon to get lunch, you'd be like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I will never eat here. 2 a.m. on a Friday night? Oh yeah. You know what, buddy? Yep. Why don't we make it 2? Let's go, because one's not going to get it done.
All right, this is the most important study ever conducted. The results next on The Fan.